Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The whole family taken away by the Gestapo. The belongings were removed the following day. I left the building in a daze. It couldn't just be a routine interview. I had to know where she was. And I knew exactly who must have the answer.
You seem distracted today, Doctor. Is something troubling you?
It's just that Miss Manleaf and Mathilde and her whole family have been removed from their apartment.
Ah, I can't believe someone is... prominent as Herr Manleaf reneged on his rent. Besides, doesn't he own the building?
He does. They left at night under escort by the security police.
The Gestapo.
Yes. I didn't want to use that.
Sobriquet?
It's very mysterious and sudden.
Yeah, it's probably just some senses clerical matter. They happen all the time. It'll soon be cleared up, have no doubts.
But an administrative matter should not take more than a week to sort out, surely.
Some of these clerical people are not the smartest workers. They confuse names all the time. Manleifen, Mannheimer, and so on. I'm sure it's all a misunderstanding and will soon be rectified.
The family apartment was cleared out the following day.
I could make some inquiries, but for now we shall finish this session. I seem to be easing your troubled mind instead of the other way around.
No, you're right, of course, mein Führer. Thank you. Auf Wiedersehen. I later told Bernheim about this situation. He seemed noncommittal and had nothing to add to the Führer's vague explanation of clerical inefficiencies and senses details. Weeks passed, and there was no news. Not even a letter from Tilde. I had to accept the fact that she and her family were no longer in Berlin. I made inquiries at the headquarters of the orchestra and even at Hermann Liefen's bank, but was met with stony blank faces and very little sympathy. The people of Berlin had closed ranks and lips. These were indeed difficult times, especially for persons known to be or now designated as non-Germans. I did not see my special patient, Frank, for several months. In fact, not until late 1940, a year after Britain and France had declared war on Germany. He arrived as usual with a patient's appointment card.
Well, Doc, a lot has happened since our last appointment. Things have certainly escalated. And, Crazy Horse seems to be behaving as you predicted.
Are you still working with the British?
So far, and passing as Italian so I can get here through Italy. The old homeland. Sooner or later, I expect to be swept up into my Uncle Sam's lot, but still based with Intel. So, I may still be in need of your therapy as this affair proceeds.
I should tell you that I've been contacted by one of our friend's agents who suspects you are not getting therapy, as you put it.
That could be good. Puts you in a shit sandwich, though. A dangerous one.
I keep that very much in mind. I'm likely to be contacted by the other fellow soon after you leave. Certainly within a day or two.
That puts both of us on our guard. France has capitulated, the expeditionary force has evacuated from Dunkirk, and the Luftwaffe are getting a run for their money from the Royal Air Force over Britain. What we need from you is Hitler's general reaction to events, and what he might plan going forward given his psychological behavior patterns. This is going to get a lot hairier soon.
I understand. True to my prediction, the following day I was visited by Kruntz. It was never a mystery when he'd arrived. The man was as subtle as a sledgehammer.
So your Italian patient was feeling in need of your further therapeutic endeavors, I see.
Do you check on all my patients' comings and goings?
Only insofar as is necessary. Tell me now, what particular problem was he experiencing this time?
That's not for me to tell someone like you. You're not a doctor.
To fail in this regard will be very detrimental to your health and well-being.
Well, I gave him some advice to follow over his recurring bad dreams.
Come now, Doctor. You will have to do better than that. Believe me if I tell you, you are skating on very thin ice. Keep that in mind. I have many eyes and ears on you, but no ladder to save you when the ice gives way. Auf Wiedersehen.
I was not visited again by my Italian patient for well over a year when he again came in to see me. Kruntz, meanwhile, had been making increasingly explicit threats for months. I'd stalled with vague promises of intelligence to share, but needed something and soon.
Hi, Doc. It's your favorite Italian come out from under the covers again and needed some therapy. I'm having too much sex with beautiful women. It's very distressing. What can I do?
You should be more careful, maybe stop coming here.
Well, this time, I have something for you. And just supposing your Kraut friend again wants some information, here's what's afoot. Crazy Horse is terrified of an Allied assault in the Balkans. He relies on that region for much of his industrial raw materials. Yet he knows an assault from the south into Europe is inevitable. Greece and Sardinia are other options.
Geographically, yes.
We intend to confuse him with fake invasion plans. We want you to say whether or not our friend would be convinced. Would he in fact stick to his own decision despite any opposing thoughts from his high command?
He'll stick to his own decisions and damn the generals who forces him.
That's what we hoped. The plan is to get fake invasion plans into the hands of the Abwehr, German intelligence.
Now do you propose to achieve that?
A drowned Royal Marines officer, supposedly from a plane crash, will be washed up on the coast of southern Spain. A suitable corpse will be decked out as the said officer, with fake documents indicating plans for a coming assault by the Allies through Sardinia and Greece. Whereas the real event will be through the old homeland, if you get my drift.
Right.
Spain is ostensibly neutral at this time, but they do have sympathy for the Axis powers. So it stands to reason that the Abwehr will be given secret access to the deceptive documents. Once this information reaches old Crazy Horse, he'll want to move his resources to reinforce Peloponnesia and Sardinia.
You're fortunate in that our friend is very superstitious and believes in luck. Once he knows the source of the information, he'll regard it as a divine intervention on his rightful behalf.
And he'll cling to it through hell and high water.
Yes. Yes, he will.
That's what we needed to know. You better make sure your Kraut friend gets the message and passes it on to the old Crazy Horse. Your therapy has made me feel so much better. Do take care of yourself, Doc. Until our next session. Ciao.
As expected, my first patient the following day was the unavoidable Hoffman.
Well, Doctor, What therapeutic advice have you for me today?
I've been contemplating your previous advice to me.
Concerning your vulnerability, you mean?
Yes. So I've decided to comply with your needs. My Italian patient has a recurring dream.
You can cut the therapy gobbledygook, Doctor. Just tell it straight.
Very well. There's to be an invasion by allies into southern Europe through Greece and Sardinia. It will be in June next year.
Not through the Balkans or Sicily.
No, the latter would entail an advance through the whole of Italy, and the Balkans are too well defended coastwise, while broad-based landings, as said, would lead directly into Europe's underbelly.
It seems you are becoming quite the military strategist, Doctor.
Well, I can only tell you what I've been told, Hoffman.
So how was this information put to you by your Italian patient?
He said the dummy plan was for the Allies to invade through Sicily, notwithstanding the disadvantages I mentioned.
Our Führer does not want his forces engaged alongside the Italian fascists. He does not trust them to fight.
Of course not. The Mediterranean tribes are better at making love than war. They're not as disciplined as we Northerners.
The Aryans, you mean?
As you say, and I'm reluctant to give you anything else until you can give me some news concerning Tilde, Miss Manleafen.
That may not be in my power, but you have done well so far, Doctor. I will try.
The following summer, the Allied landings in Sicily met with little opposition by the Italian army, and soon after that, Italy surrendered. Following heavy bombing of Berlin at that time, Hitler ordered the evacuation of civilians from the city. And I received a note from Frank, who signed himself Francisco, asking me to meet him at one of the remaining Berlin metro stations. It was somewhat reminiscent of the similar meeting I'd had some years earlier with Officer Kruntz.
So, Doc, we meet again. Fortunately, the old homeland did not suffer too much with the Allied landings in advance, and the Italian army was no match for my uncle's bunch, plus the British and the Canadians.
But even though Italy has surrendered, Western Europe can't be liberated from the south.
True. That's why plans are underway for the Allies to invade somewhere along the Atlantic seaboard within the next year.
What information would you like me to advance to my kraut friend?
Consider this. The obvious route to Europe from the west is the Pas de Calais, the narrowest part of the English Channel, or from Scotland over to Norway, and link with the Russian forces for advance into the rest of the Europe, south and east.
Two distinct alternatives.
Crazy Horse cannot protect the full 1,500 miles of Atlantic coastline, but he'll deploy his reinforcements wherever he believes he needs them.
He'll consider the west-facing coast of France down as far as the Spanish border, too exposed for a strategic major amphibious assault.
You are getting good at this, Doc.
Go on.
We want to convince him that Calais and Norway will be simultaneous invasions. He'll then deploy his reserve forces with those locations in mind.
He'll be wrong.
If we can convince him. That's where you can help us.
So tell me.
Give authenticity to the Pas de Calais scenario, there is to be a phony buildup of troops and equipment in England, in Kent. This is largely a subterfuge exercise. But transmissions and information outlets, local press, gossip, radio, and so on will give veracity to events. Simultaneously, there is to be a troop buildup in Scotland for the Norwegian assault, with similar fake news chatter that Jerry will be able to decipher. The actual location of the invasion is not yet publicized. It's just these false venues released at present. And we need to get that information firmly established in the mind of our adversary.
That should not be a problem. I expect a visit from my friend as soon as he can materialize.
My superiors are very concerned by the fact that your previous information was entirely at odds with reality.
Is that my fault? Surely plans change sometimes, no?
In light of your recent visit, Tell me what you have to assure me is true.
My patient informs me that there will be two simultaneous invasions in coming months.
Show me. Here, on this map.
Shortly after this visit from Kruntz, I received a summons to visit the Führer.
You disappoint me, Doctor.
Really, mein Führer? How's that?
I thought we had an agreement. Not to say you had an order to keep me as your sole therapy patient.
With respect, Adolf, I have to make my living professionally.
I'm led to understand that among your patients, you have an Italian individual.
From time to time, yes, I do see an Italian patient.
I don't trust Italians. Never have. Even that Benito Mussolini is a mere prancing puppet.
If you say so, Führer.
I do. He gave up Italy without a fight. Now he's capitulated. What a betrayal. I don't take betrayals. I know how to deal with betrayal in all its forms. Do you understand that, Doctor?
Of course, Adolf. I've learned that about you over the years of our therapy sessions.
You do well to keep that in mind, Dr. Dromirk.
I knew then just how thin was the ice to which Kruntz had referred previously. Is there anything particular you wish me to help you with today, Führer?
No. Just bear in mind my deep concerns.
Certainly, mein Führer. Auf Wiedersehen. I left, fully aware how dangerous my situation had now become. I could expect a visit from the Gestapo any time. I was determined to leave Berlin right away and travel home. My grandfather had recently died, my mother was sick, and my father was getting too frail. It was a good time to finally see my family. My true situation came to light when I went to make my travel arrangement. I was told that I was on the record as a specially listed person and not permitted to leave Germany. Hitler indeed had me trapped. My fear of a Gestapo visit would remain gnawing at me like an insect trapped inside my brain. I managed to get a phone call through to Sweden and could not believe my mother's inquiring, "Why don't you marry that lovely girl, Mathilde?" After I'd explained the whole situation of her disappearance along with her family, it started the whole distracted thought process in me again. We kept in contact by telephone and letters as my mother continued to decline until she passed away, late in 1944. It was then, having arranged my father's care under the capable hands of his nurse housekeeper, that I knew I would not get out of Berlin while hostilities continued. I redoubled my efforts to find out about Tilde. To this end, I first needed to locate Bernheim and allay or prove my old suspicions. The Normandy landing had indeed occurred in the middle of 1944, and the war in Europe was not going in Germany's favor when, early in 1945, I managed to find out where Professor Bernheim was living in his secluded retirement. We had seen nothing of each other for some years, not since he suddenly and quietly left Berlin, and I was told he had retired due to failing health, though he'd always seemed very robust to me. I decided to pay him a visit, as I continued to hold on to my suspicions that he had been somehow instrumental in the disappearance of Tilde and the whole Manleafen household. I found him living in a run-down yet formerly grand rural property several miles south of Berlin. His stooped and withered frame was a travesty of his former solid strength that was only yet present in the gaze from his cold blue eyes. After taking the tea tray from his aged housekeeper, he picked up an envelope that was propped against the pot. "She is very sick," he said, as he handed the envelope to me. And I was overcome with questions. How, what, when, for how long? Bernheim went on to explain in cold, calculating terms that yes, the Manlevens had been suspected of being Jewish, but it was then decided that they were not, though Herr Manleven had often expressed Jewish sympathies. This resulted in his being sent east to a labor camp. The mother had been dispatched to a concentration camp, where she died the following year from cerebral tuberculosis. And though we know nothing of the fate of the whereabouts of the two younger men, Tilda's brothers, Reich Führer Himmler himself, had determined Tilda's fate. As a young, attractive, and accomplished female, Himmler decided that she was to be entered into a Lebensborn program, breeding clinic that was set up to promote the Aryan race. Aryan men were encouraged to impregnate the female selected for that purpose. In truth, the places were nothing more than high-class brothels. Subsequently, they had become establishments for various genetic and other unethical experiments. It had been then that a final dissenting Bernheim had opted for obscure retirement rather than face his own threatened deportation as a dissident to the party's doctrine. He then told me that a broken Tilda was now permanently institutionalized, and that I might not wish to visit her at the address I would find inside the envelope. I assured him that it was my definite intention to go to see her. I could not believe the duplicity of this man, one that I once revered, and his obvious and sordid involvement from the very onset. I thought his parting remark was his unkindest cut. "I tell you this now, Drummerk, because I'm old and sick and I don't want these burdens on my conscience when I go." But was it his final pronouncement? Ever the loyal Nazi, he had another betrayal up his sleeve. As I left him to his shabby surroundings without turning back, I did not see him shuffling towards the telephone. I discovered later he must have gone for it the second I departed. When I arrived at the mental institution east of Berlin, where my beloved Tilda was incarcerated, I asked, as a doctor, to see her medical records, but was politely yet firmly refused, though my visit to her was allowed. I followed the stiff-backed nurse to the cell-like room and was led in. The nurse left, and I heard the key turn in the lock as she returned to her post. Surrounded by dull brown walls, Tilda and I faced each other in shock and motionless silence. I could not believe the awful changes in her that confronted me. Gone was the bright, joyful spirit and beauty I had known and loved. In its place stood a shrunken, sallow-skinned apparition that had been my beautiful and cherished lover. Her eyes, once so bright and beguiling, were now sunken and ill-focused. Her once supple yet strong fingers were knotted and deformed as she clasped them to her sunken cheek, surrounding the dry withered lips, once so full and luscious. Her hard, icy stare began to destroy my composure. Her unspoken message that it was I who had caused her to come to this awful degradation. Guilt gnawed at me. Yet, what had I done? Could I have prevented any of the past events? I could only say her name over and over and over. Tildy? Tildy? What have they done to you? Finally, clasping her arms around her shrunken shoulders, she turned silently and moved towards the small barred window. At that moment, I saw the extent of the ravages that advanced syphilis had taken. The characteristic hard, broad-based gait, an unmistakable sign of late syphilis. The disease, described to me by my elders when I was a boy, the disease endlessly passed between men and women over the centuries. The disease that led to madness. I cursed those men who had, in the name of science, abused her endlessly for all their proud Aryan blood, a pox upon them. But now there was a newly discovered medication, penicillin, that promised a cure. Without turning from the window, at last Tilda spoke, her voice hard and rasping.
How can you come here after what you've done to me?
Tildy, my love, what did I do? What should I have done differently?
You won't come back.
I will be back, Tildy. Believe me, love. I'll be back.
Don't come back. Nurse!
The door opened almost immediately and the nurse pulled me outside by my arm. As she relocked the door, we heard the sound of breaking glass inside. She reopened Tilda's cell and I faced my nightmare, my horror of horror. Tildy had slashed one of her wrists with a shard of glass from the broken window, then plunged the same spike into her groin and severed her femoral artery. Even as I fell upon her, she tried to stop the pulsating jet of blood. Tildy died beneath me. And there was blood everywhere. Tildy. 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 Then I knew, whatever the cost, whatever my hypocritic oath demanded, I would not stop my intention to kill Hitler. As only I knew how, I would drive him to his own suicide, just as he has driven my Tildy. As I knelt, distraught and bloodied beside Tildy's body, I felt firm hands grip my shoulders. Looking up, I saw two Gestapo men standing behind me. They pulled me unceremonially to my feet, but I didn't fear them. No, it's what I wanted, because I knew where they would be taking me, to him.
The Hitler File is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, and Dan Benamor. Directed and produced by Dan Benamor. Written by Desmond Fosbury. Based on the novel, The Dromirek File, by Brandon Rolfe. Starring Peter Stormare as Dr. Dromirek. And Dennis O'Hare as Adolf Hitler. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Nick Misitti. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes.